That, for me, has made an extraordinary difference. And I know for many of you here, it's made that difference as well. And it's something that we all need to hear, because we live in a society where there is much loneliness. Some of you have heard me say this before, but my friend David Flowers from Vineyard Church, we are getting together on a regular basis. We're thinking about things that we can do together in Headingley. It's really exciting. And he told me about when he met with the local MP and the local councillor, and they were talking to him, and he said, what could the church do for this neighbourhood, for this area? What could the church do for Headingley and for North Leeds? What's the greatest need? And they both said, almost simultaneously, it's loneliness. People are lonely. People need that companionship. People need to know, effectively, that they're loved. A wonderful message this morning. If this is you, if you feel lonely, if you feel you're here in a crowd, but actually I don't really know people and I feel isolated in life, God loves you with a love that is strong and sure, and he wants to draw you into relationship with him. One of the words in the passage, one of the big words, is reconciliation. We are reconciled to God in the gospel. And the wonderful thing is that we can know God personally, intimately, through the good news of Jesus Christ. He loves you, he demonstrates his love, and he wants to know you as Saviour and Lord and friend. The wonderful difference that Jesus makes, that God loves us. The next difference is really, really important, because we learn that Jesus deals with separation and sin. It's very easy to check out at this point. It's very easy to think, whoa, this isn't the way that we talk about ourselves. This isn't the way that we speak. Isn't sin one of these strange religious words? But I want to encourage you to stick with this, because it is so vital. And just to really engage with these verses, we have real challenges for us, because it talks about us as sinners, it talks about us as ungodly, it talks about us as enemies of God, and it says that we are powerless to do anything about it. Those first three words, it's like an ugly trio of words. And then the final word, it is something that we struggle with as well. But we need to engage with this, because it describes how we are. We want to have a relationship with God. God wants to have a relationship with us, but there is this great gap, this great chasm in between us. We imagine perhaps a great canyon, a grand canyon, and we are over here and God is over there, and he is pure and holy and wonderful and sovereign. And throughout the Bible, when people come into his presence, and we see this in the Old Testament, they recognize their sin and their failings, and they say, Isaiah the prophet is one, woe is me, I'm unclean, I can't have a relationship with this holy God. And so there's a problem. But here is where Jesus makes a wonderful difference. As he comes and he dies on the cross, he bridges the gap and he makes it possible for us to get over to God. We can maybe imagine this canyon and imagine the cross there actually forming a bridge that means that we can get across and we can know God. Indeed, God has come to us and he wants to know us. Jesus makes all the difference. And nothing else will do. We imagine ourselves standing over here and we think, well, maybe the good things that I do will get me across, but they don't. Maybe going to church will get me across, but it doesn't. Maybe living a life where we just seek not to harm people, but that doesn't get us across. God has to come and do something, and in Jesus he has come. and he's given his life that we might have life. He has come to us and he has made this reconciliation possible. What a difference Jesus makes. We go on, and we go on into chapter 6, and we read about baptism and how that really illustrates the wonderful interchange that takes place when we know Jesus. And it is indeed like a bath. It's the forgiveness that Jesus brings. When Gideon went down into the water, he was fully immersed. Levi and I made sure that he went completely under. And although his legs bobbed up, there was a moment when he was completely under the water. And it symbolizes amazingly that free and full and complete cleansing that Jesus gives us. Free and full forgiveness. Whatever we've done, however we've messed up, however we've turned away from God, how many years we've been in the wilderness, God forgives us. There's nothing that we could do that would make Jesus love us any less. His love is strong and sure. Sometimes people think that they are too good to need Jesus, and our passage very clearly speaks into that. We all need Jesus. We all need salvation. But the passage also speaks to us if we feel that we're not good enough. If we feel that God can forgive that person over there, but he can't forgive me. There is free and full forgiveness. There is complete cleansing. There is full immersion in the gospel. And wherever you've messed up, wherever you've turned away, whatever is your sin or your shame or your compromise or your issues, whatever it is, Jesus says, I want to forgive. Will you come to me? What an amazing difference Jesus makes. And he also gives us new life and new power. One of the things that happens in baptism is that there is just this symbolism of burial and resurrection. So Gideon went down into the water and he came up again. And it's a bit like a burial. And it's like rising from the dead. And it symbolizes the new life that we have, but it's also new lifestyle. Paul talks in Romans 6 about living a life that is differently, living positively, growing in holiness, not doing so many things wrong and doing more things right, but more than that, just having a whole new focus, a whole new orientation, a whole new way of life that is following Jesus wherever he leads. That's an amazing difference. And being immersed into Christ gives us the power. When we come to Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can live differently. In the book of Romans, as we read on, in Romans chapter 8, it speaks powerfully of the Holy Spirit poured into our lives, strengthening us, giving us new assurance, yes, but helping us to live differently. We can be forgiven and we have power to live a new life. In the gospel, in the Christian good news, we are delivered not just from the penalty of sin, but also from its power. Yes, we continue to need forgiveness. Every day we come to God and we ask for his cleansing afresh. We never, ever get beyond that. But God, in his grace and mercy, wants to transform us, wants to make such a difference to our lives that we can then make a difference to others. Yes, we are saved from the penalty and the power of sin. God takes me just as I am, but he doesn't leave me just as I am. He changes me and he leads me on. That is so exciting. Jesus makes a difference. As we come towards the close of this, and I want to apply it to our lives, I want to read something to you as well about the transforming difference that Jesus makes in our lives. Few of you will know the story of Johnny Erickson Tada, an American lady who has been 51 years a quadriplegic. She was injured in a diving accident. She dived into the water. She didn't realize that the depth was very shallow. She hit her head and she was paralyzed from the neck down. And she had a Christian upbringing, but in many ways was struggling in her faith. And through this terrible accident, she rediscovered what it meant to follow Jesus and had an extraordinarily effective ministry over many years and continues to have, reaching out to people with her Christian faith. One of the things that she's had to battle and contend with in her life is cancer. She had stage 3 breast cancer and recovered. And it's just been revealed that she has cancer again. And I just drew a quote from her when she was speaking about this, speaking about the news, and just saying how this related to her faith. When I received the unexpected news of cancer from my oncological surgeon, I relaxed and smiled, knowing that my sovereign God loves me dearly and holds me tightly in his hands. What good is it if we only trust the Lord when we understand his ways? That only guarantees a life that's filled with doubts. Extraordinary trust in God at a critical moment in life. Jesus makes an amazing difference. He can make a difference to you. I want to apply this now and just think about making this real in our lives. And first of all, I want to encourage you, if you've not made a commitment to Jesus, to make that commitment now. God loves you. He wants to know you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you a real purpose in life. He promises life in all its fullness, abundant life, life now and life in the age to come. Yes, there is suffering and struggle because we are called to follow Jesus, who said to us, take up your cross daily and follow me. So it's not easy. God is asking you to make a real commitment, but it is life as it was always meant to be lived, life in technicolor, life that is wonderful. Don't hold back. Give yourself to Jesus and know his forgiveness today. It may be that you've done that, but you've not actually received the sign of baptism. And it is a sign, and so it is for those who have already committed their faith to Jesus, but it's a wonderful sign, and it's a testimony of many, many, many people that God, in his grace and mercy, touches their lives as they step out in baptism. It's my testimony as a stammering, struggling young person at university, never able to speak in public. Some of you think, well, maybe you should have stayed as you are, but there you go. And since my baptism, it's almost as if I've not been able to stop talking. And from someone who always used to clam up and who could never speak, I couldn't get through my testimony when I was baptized. I stood there trembling with my notes. And unlike Gideon, who plowed on through and spoke so powerfully of what God has done in his life, I had to stop halfway through because I just couldn't finish. And I can't really explain it, but in my baptism, God just came and did something, and I had a new peace, a new assurance, just a new filling of the Holy Spirit. God came and God worked. And if you're holding back from baptism, if you've not been baptized as a believer, I want to encourage you. It is God's commands. Jesus commands us to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. It's all encompassing. It's all in. And if you've only been half in, If you've accepted Jesus as Savior and you're saying that he's Lord, but you're holding back from baptism, I want to encourage you to be all in, to give yourself to Jesus, and to do that through baptism. But perhaps you've already made that commitment, and perhaps you've already been baptized. I want to encourage you, just as I encourage myself, to be absolutely all in for this. Jesus makes a difference to every area of our lives, but sometimes we've lost a bit of connection with him. We've grown a bit faint-hearted. We've grown a bit cold. And baptism is just that wonderful illustration of all for Jesus. Not half immersed, not even three-quarters immersed, but fully immersed into him. Not going back to the old way of life, but dying to the old way of life and rising again to live a new way of life. Depending on Jesus, yes. Depending on his forgiveness and grace every day. Depending on the power of the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, going on to live in a way that is different, in a way that is transformed and transformative for others. I was just reading a bit of the Christian speaker Francis Chan, and something that he said that just challenged me so deeply, and I want to pass on to you. He was saying in the midst of a talk, I want to live a life that is unexplainable without the power of the Holy Spirit. To live a life that is unexplainable without the power of the Holy Spirit. In the little things, in the big things, in the focus of my life. This guy couldn't live this way without the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not so naturally gifted, and yet God uses him as speaking. He gets a bit impatient sometimes, but God is working on that and is giving him great patience. He gets anxious sometimes, but God is working on that and helping him to reach out to those who have anxiety themselves. The difference that Jesus makes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage us to be a people who live lives that just can't be explained apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Us as a congregation, a community, us as individuals. Illustration that I've used before, and I'll close with this. Gypsy Smith, the great evangelist of the past, when he was a fairly young guy, gave advice to someone, talking about revival, talking about God coming and working in power in a community. When does it start? How does it start? And Gypsy Smith said to this person, go away, draw a chalk circle around yourself, get on your knees, pray, God, revive everything within this circle, and don't get up until he's done that. Someone like me going to be praying for a long time, because I know that there are things that God wants to do in my own life, things that God wants to touch. But I want to live a life. I want to respond to things. I want to be a disciple of Jesus in ways that cannot be explained apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pass that desire on to you. May we be a church who's like that. Is God calling you to make that commitment to Christ? Get it sorted today. Make that commitment. Come to Jesus. Is God calling you to be baptized as a believer? Come and see me today. Come and see Scott. Come and see Sue. Anybody who you've seen at the front today, and we'll talk that through with you. We hope and pray we have another baptism service coming really soon, and that's exciting. Come and see us and be a part of that. But whoever you are, and however long you've been on the journey of Christian faith, let's live lives that show the amazing difference that Jesus has made to our lives. As we do that, I believe that he will touch many others with his transforming power and his transforming love. I'm going to pause and lead us in a prayer, and then Sue, if you're going to come back and just finish off for us, that would be great. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for the amazing difference that Jesus makes to life. Thank you that he came and that he died and that he rose again. Thank you that he demonstrated your love in this extraordinary way so that we, sinners, enemies, and ungodly, powerless to do anything about it, can be reconciled to a holy God. Lord, these are big words, but they speak of a simple wonder, the relationship that we can have with you. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer to us. Thank you for the new life that is there for us. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to live differently, to die to the old, to rise again for the new, to live the baptized life. Lord, help us. Thank you for the difference. Thank you for your transforming power. Now, Lord, will you come and transform us again, afresh, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might live for you, that we might glorify you, that we might show what it is to have life in all its fullness. In Jesus' name. Amen.